Let's pray. Lord our God, as we come to consider your word, may each one of us be led by you to hear you, our risen Lord Jesus. May we have hearts and eyes open, ready to see and hear you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you know much about the Church of England, but the Church of England has all sorts of ways about it, some of which are most unfathomable. One of the things the Church does have is it has set prayers for every day of the year. It's called a collect. Why it's called a collect is something to do with the Latin, and we won't need to know about that. But it's a prayer. A collect is a prayer. Susie began our service with it, and it was this. Risen, ascended Lord, as we rejoice at your triumph, fill your church with power and compassion, that all who are estranged by sin may find forgiveness and know your peace to the glory of God the Father. Did you hear those two words? Power and compassion. Fill your church with power and compassion. Prayer calls then for Jesus, the one who ascended to be with God, to fill his church with power and compassion. Is that what we want for St. Margaret's? For this place, for us, to be filled with power and compassion? Hold on to that for the moment. Because we're going to look at what this might mean, but we have to hold on to another train of thought, and that's this. For what purpose? What purpose are we being asked to be filled with power and compassion? Is it for this holy huddle? Those of us who've decided to turn up this Sunday morning? Do we have to take a much wider view than that? Is it for those who aren't here today? Now, of course, you know the answer to that in one sense, and we're going to return to that a bit later on. But let's just begin with this idea of power and compassion that we see in our two readings. And we're going to begin with power. Often, in sermons, we begin with examples, don't we? It helps us to relate the message to our lives. But today, I'm afraid, there's absolutely no faffing around. Instead, we're going straight to the heart of the matter. And that involves participation. Where in our two readings do we see power? I have the power of the microphone, okay? So that's the only power I hold today, the microphone. I wonder, where do you see power, maybe God's power, maybe human's power, in our readings today? Can we begin with a reading from John's Gospel? If nobody says anything, I've got a few examples, of course, and nobody is under any compulsion to say anything if they don't want to. But Nigel, if they keep going on, turn it off. Okay, power. Katrina.
The slave owners had power over their slaves' earnings.
Okay, brilliant, thank you. That's on the list. Power. Anybody else? Well, we either.
The earthquake.
The earthquake, yep. That's another form of power.
Power of being able to convince somebody to change their ways.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
The slight strangeness of a jailer being the person in power, but actually he was the one who was going to kill himself, and in a way those prisoners who stayed where they were showed more power than the jailer.
Paul expelling the spirit from the slave.
Okay. I'm noticing quite a lot from Acts. What about John?
Jesus living in God and God living in Jesus, and Jesus wanting that for us too, the power of Jesus living in us.
Any more? Okay. Well, let's deal with the Acts reading first. Yes, we've got the slave girl, as we've said. We've got God's power seen in the earthquake and then the opening of the doors, that miraculous sense of power. We've got the power over the spirit as well. We've got those who seize Paul and Silas. They have political power. The political power of the magistrates. And of course, there's that tension, isn't there? There's that political power there of the magistrates, but there's also the power of the slave owners to use their power in a political sense. Something about Paul and Silas being stripped naked and beaten, thrown in prison as well, shows us a whole dynamic of power. The John reading, I think, is slightly more one in which we need to sort of perhaps ponder with. I'll give you that, the reason why we're not necessarily able to see it quite so much. As Libby said, being in the Father, verse 21, there's power there, that Jesus being in the Father, us being in Jesus, brings power. There's something in verse 22 about unity. In unity there is power. And that unity comes because of love. It's a word, isn't it, that's so bandied around so easily, so frequently. Oh, I love this, I love that. But real love of Jesus is power. Verse 25 talks about knowledge. Knowledge of the Father through Jesus is power. We have to acknowledge that power is something which seems to be a natural tendency of us as humans. We like power. I often say that at home I run a benign dictatorship. I like that power. They don't see it as a benign dictatorship, I can assure you, but it is. We seem to want to hold on to things, to have control, to make our own decisions, to go our way. As we look back as Christians to the Garden of Eden and see this is where it possibly began. Eve and Adam took the decision to eat of the fruit, which leads them to choose to put themselves in the rightful place, which is God's. We call that sin. And it, of course, leads to a separation from God. Jesus, though, brings about a new way of living. It's a way of life where there is power, but I said it's a power based on love. Love of God, love of neighbour, love of self. And it's a way of life led by the Spirit. The trouble is, we still try to mould Jesus' power into our understanding of power. And it's why we come week by week and ask for forgiveness. Jesus' death and resurrection brings forgiveness. It's happened. But we still need to come to God and ask for that forgiveness. We choose to go our own way. Even though we know, in our heads, we know we should be leading God's way, living God's way, we don't. We try to fit our understanding of power and even of love into God's mould. And that just doesn't work. Whilst God's power is based on love, the way in which it's seen is in compassion. So from John's Gospel, when thinking about power, we can also see that these relate to the compassion of God. Being in the Father, verse 21. Unity is based on compassion. Love, in 23 and 26, is again compassion. Knowledge of the Father through Jesus is compassion. All of these aspects of our relationship with Jesus and therefore with one another are to enable us to form us into the people who experience the compassion of God in daily living. We see elements of compassion, of the compassion of God, in our Acts reading. The young slave girl is released from exploitation. The jailer's life and that of his family is saved, both physically and spiritually. We, as the people of God, know the compassion that we have through Jesus because of the power of Jesus. Now, of course, there will be times in our lives when we need to be reminded, renewed, maybe refreshed. Well, the good news is Jesus's compassion is not a limited resource. Maybe for us today there's a situation, a relationship that needs to know the power and compassion of Jesus to be at work. It recognizes the limitations of our power and places God at the heart of who we are. And so we can come back time and time again and be filled by the power of the Holy Spirit with God's power and God's compassion for ourselves. But I want to return to that question I asked earlier. What purpose are we asking to be filled with power and compassion that is beyond our own personal needs? Well, we read in verse 25 of John 16, Jesus says, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me." So the power and compassion of Jesus is for those who do not know the Father, who perhaps have limited understanding of who Jesus is. It's for those who are not here today, for those perhaps whose knowledge of Jesus is as a swear word, as well as for those who wonder where the next meal will come from, for those for whom their work life defines them as people, for those who are so tied up with maybe an addiction or a relationship that is all they care about, for those who are victims of exploitation by others. The power and compassion of God is there to fill the church, to fill St. Margaret's, so that we can be the people God needs us to be in this place and at this time. It's not there just to serve us and make us feel good about who we are, what we do. It's to serve our community, to serve the world through maybe the use of our resources. It may include our money, our time. It may include us needing to change maybe who we are and what we do, the way in which we live. It may need us to be, lead us to be changing our job, where we are living. It may lead us to changing the way in which we live, especially as we have regard to the environment. If we are a church who believes the power and compassion of Jesus, then like Paul and Silas, things may be uncomfortable. We know that there are many people around the world who, for their Christian faith, are finding this to be a reality of their lives. Are we willing for that to be a reality for us? I have had the opportunity this last week to re-listen to some a series of sermons that were preached over 20 years ago by a man who went out to stay with Jackie Pullinger, the lady who has set up work in Hong Kong, often with drug addicts, but not exclusively with drug addicts. And she went following, knowing that she'd been called by God to go to Hong Kong. She didn't quite know, knowing that she'd been called by God to go. And she went to her vicar and said, "God's telling me to go. I don't know where he's telling me to go, but he's telling me to go." And this vicar said to her, "Go out and buy the the travel ticket that will take you the furthest." So she thought, that's a bit dangerous. Okay, so she went out and she bought this travel ticket on a boat. And he said, "God will tell you when to get off this boat." So, I know, she did exactly what God said, went and bought this ticket, travelled down past India, etc., thinking, maybe India, there's a lot of need there. But it was when she got to Hong Kong that God told her, "Get off this boat." She got off the boat, that was in 1966, 53 years ago. And she is still out there working and doing amazing work with people who are in such desperate need of the power and the compassion of Jesus. The stories she tells of how these often young men are taken off of drugs without the need for going cold turkey, as would often be the case if it was done in other ways, through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. As I said, I was listening to some tapes of a gentleman who'd gone out to stay with her, because he was the man who said to her, "You are to go." And he went 30 years later to visit her. He came back a changed person because he had seen with the power and the compassion of God at work in individuals' lives. What would it look like for us as a church if we were filled to such an extent that we had the power and the compassion of Jesus Christ to go? I don't know where it is to go. Maybe it's as far as the high road. Maybe it's into the White Hart. Maybe it's to Starbucks. Yeah, it might be Starbucks, actually. I have this thing about Starbucks. Anyway, wherever it is. But to go where God is sending us. Maybe not just sending one of us, but actually in our unity and in our love for one another, sending us as a church. Our collect concludes with the reason why we need to be filled with power and compassion. That all, and that includes me, as well as it includes you, who are estranged by sin, may find forgiveness and know that your peace to the glory of God the Father. I was struck as we sang one of our opening songs. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. And don't our streets and land need it? Set your church on fire. Win this nation, win this world back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. And then we pray. Do we pray? Is that what we pray for? That God's kingdom will be built here. Here in this place, here amongst ourselves. Let's take a moment of silence as we think, consider about the power and compassion of God. We know we have it with us, and perhaps we need to be open to receiving that power and compassion so that God's kingdom will be built here where there is darkness and fear. Lord our God, as we open ourselves to you, may we be filled by you. May we know your power and your compassion to be the people that you desire us to be in this place and at this time. May we be led by your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.